Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in 319-527-6204. We are. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, praise be to God. Again, our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Dear God, we want to thank you for your mercy and your abundance of promises fulfilled. We ask for you to take our hand and lead us in the ways you best see fit, and fill our hearts with the kindness you bestowed upon us. As you are impartial, please help us to treat all as equal, whether faced with fortune or adversity. Please allow all that we do while on this earth brings nothing but praise and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Sometimes you're feeling down.
Praise be to God. Dear Lord, please wrap your loving arms around those who are hurting today and let them feel how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. Times in your life when you don't know what to do, it seems like everything is going wrong and you don't know how you'll make it through.
Let us spirit.
Oh,
come in.
Oh,
yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. We choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you have placed in our hearts. We trust you today with everything that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Our Advocate, amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, and it says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Praise God. So you have messed up again. You have sinned. You have done what God has commanded you not to do. Possibly face him. Whenever we sin, we may feel like we have failed and that God could not continue to love us. However, this is when we must take heart and realize all Jesus has done for us. Jesus is not just our Savior. He is also our advocate. When he redeems us, he knew we could not live perfect lives. This is why he took on human flesh to experience as we do the pressures you and I face. Therefore, he understands how deeply our wounds and fears can affect us and why we sometimes turn to sin to ease our pain. However, Jesus also knows that our iniquities is never the solution for our hurts and anxieties. It can only deepen the despair that is already there. Jesus defends us even when we fail him. 1 John 1:9. Why? Because he died to make us free and is committed to finishing the job. So when you sin, don't be afraid. Turn back to the Savior and repent. Run back to his loving arms and allow him to liberate you completely. In Jesus' name. Whew. Amen, amen. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Let us pray. Jesus, we confess our sin to you and run back to you. Teach us to live in your freedom. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play a short selection and come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Today, yesterday's rain, his hope of a Sunday. Never say never, or come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 35, and we are going to read verses 1 through 10. Amen. That's Genesis, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, "Then God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, get rid of all your pagan idols. Purify yourselves and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near Shechem. As they set out, a terror from God spread over the people in all the towns of that area, so no one attacked Jacob's family. Eventually, Jacob and his household arrived at Luz, also called Bethel, in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named the place El Bethel, which means God of Bethel, because God had appeared to him there when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. Soon after this, Rebekah's old nurse, Deborah, died. She was buried beneath the oak tree in the valley below Bethel. Ever since, the tree has been called Alon Bachu, which means oak of weeping. Now that Jacob had returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. So God renamed him Israel. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. To Jacob, Bethel was more than a geographic location. It was the place where he had first come to know the Lord in a personal way. All of us have our Bethels. For some of us, it is where we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We also may have smaller Bethels in our lives. Those times when we awaken to a more meaningful relationship with God. Whatever Jacob may have known about God before his Bethel experience, we do not know. We can be certain, however, that this was the dearest place on earth to Jacob, because there he entered into a relationship with the Lord that though clouded over at times by sin, remained his moment of inspiration that sent him forth with a song in his heart. Now God wanted Jacob to follow up the Jabbok experience with a time of fresh dedication. He called on him to go back to the place of spiritual origin. The text does not tell us that God commanded him to do it, but Jacob took his household with him and told them to put away the strange gods they had become attached to during the days in Haran, to purify themselves and to put on fresh clothes as a symbol of a new spiritual beginning. How Jacob's heart must have beat faster when they handed him the various pieces of jewelry that represented dedication to foreign gods and practices. He hid them and most likely never went back to recover them. We can find some great teaching in this account. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Genesis 35:1, and it says, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleetest from the face of Esau thy brother. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is, Start Over Where You Began. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Amen? And number one, we all need periods of fresh beginning. We are too intermeshed with the world. We cling too often and too long to the superficial things that the secular way of life offers. Even though we have surrendered to Jesus, our dedication is far from complete. We do not bow down to gods as the pagans did, but we often imitate their value system in our lifestyle. Although technically we cannot rededicate something that has once been dedicated, we can reaffirm our dedication and loyalty. We can ask God to help us make a fresh start. We can tell him once more that we love him and seek to lead our families into closer fellowship with him. Amen. Praise be to God. A truly saved person never forgets. If we have once experienced deliverance from sin, that experience will always remain special in our lives. The doctrine of once saved, always saved is reflected in some senses in this story. Jacob had been delivered by God at Bethel, and he never forgot it. Years of sinning and selfishness had driven a wedge between him and proper fellowship with God. But the relationship was still there. We cannot always find perfect analogies between the Old Testament and New Testament and spiritual experiences. But here we can see enough to make a comparison. At Bethel, God delivered Jacob from fear and distress. At Calvary, he paid the price to deliver us from the fear of sin and the distress of guilt. We need to come back to our initial experience, often to secure and renew grace for living and strength for service. Amen? Praise be to God. For maximum happiness, sin must be put away. Even though we are saved from the guilt of our iniquities by Christ's anointing sacrifice at Calvary, the influence of worldliness is an ever-present threat. How much Jacob was personally influenced by the gods of Laban's family, we cannot be sure, but his family seemed to have picked up the habit of idol worship. Perhaps Jacob did not personally participate, but his influence was not strong enough to keep his family from this sin. How often the same is true of us. Our lives are not so much terrible as they are empty. There is not enough spirituality in our homes to lead our children to faith in Christ. We need to go back to the Bethel experience and secure fresh motivation. We need to clean out the cobwebs and take out the trash. God has given Jacob a new name at the Jabba. He renewed his trust at Bethel, expecting Jacob's life to take a new direction. Praise be to God. And I just have one more thing to share. So you see, Bethel was forgotten, but as many as God loves, he will remind of neglect duties one way or another, by conscience or by providence. When we have a vow to God, it is best not to defer the payment of it. Yet better late than never, Jacob commanded his household to prepare not only for the journey and removal, but for the religious services. Amen. Masters of family should use their authority to keep up religion in their families. Joshua 24:15, they must put away strange gods. In families where there is a face of religion and an altar to God, yet many times there is much amiss and more strange gods than one would suppose. They must be clean and change their garments These were but outward ceremonies, signifying the purifying and change of the heart. What are clean clothes and new clothes without a clean heart and a new heart? If Jacob had called for these idols sooner, they had parted with them sooner. Sometimes attempts for reformation succeed better than we could have thought. Jacob buried their images. We must be holy, separated from our sins, as we are from those that are dead and buried out of sight. He removed from Shechem to Bethel. Though the Canaanites were very angry against the sons of Jacob and their barbarous usage of the Shechemites, yet they were so kept back by divine power that they could not take the opportunity now offered to revenge. The way of duty is the way of safety. Hallelujah. When we are about God's work, we are under special protection. God is with us while we are with him. And if he be for us, who can be against us? God governs the world more by secret terrors on men's mind than we are aware of. The comfort the saints have in holy ordinance is not so much from Bethel, the house of God, as from El Bethel, the God of the house. The ordinance are empty things. If we do not meet with God in them, there Jacob buried Deborah, Rebekah's nurse. She died much lamented. Old servants in a family that have in their times been faithful and useful or to be respected. God appeared to Jacob. He renewed the covenant with him. I am God Almighty, God All-Sufficient, able to make good the promise in due time and to support thee and provide for thee in the meantime. Two things are promised, that he should be the father of a great nation and that he should be the master of a good land. These two promises had a spiritual signification, which Jacob had some notion of, though not so clear and distant as we now have. Christ is the promised seed, and heaven is the promised land. The former is the foundation, and the latter the top stone of all God's favor. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, do you need the Bethel experience? What direction would your life take if you genuinely returned to the eager desire to serve Christ that you had on the day you were saved? Why not spend some time by yourself to review the time you were saved and to reaffirm your life in the Savior? I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And it doesn't stop there. You pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to complete your Christian walk in Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it does say, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be this to God. And while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, I'd like to play another selection. Amen. Praise be to God.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice.
God. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. In the meantime, I will play another selection.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Take it up and praise.
It's to our God. You ought to lift your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another short selection, and then I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
You said, who is this that speaks of wisdom? You said, raise yourself and answer me. Did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve your glory. Thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Then we're going to go to 1 John, chapter 3, verses 23 through 4. And then we're going to go to 1 John, chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Amen. Now let's go over to 1 John. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 through chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, "And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us." Chapter 4. "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." Verse 2. "This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here." Verse 4. "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Amen. Now let's go over to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 4 through 5. Amen. That's 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. So, with what do you associate the word power? Power, the power of a river, constructive when harnessed at a dam, but destructive in a rampaging flood. The power of atomic energy, capable of levering Hiroshima or fueling a mighty ship. the power influences of a government leader, the power of peer pressure. Power can be defined as the means to achieve the assignment. A car without a motor is only good for display. The car needs engine power to accomplish its purpose. Likewise, Christians are to be more than showpieces of morality. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish our mission in the world. We are called to be salt and light, a preserving and uplifting influence among people, God's change agents in the world. Jesus assures us that the power we need to fulfill this mission is available. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Acts 1:8 in the NIV. The Spirit within is the power to face the world without. This gift of victorious power is affirmed in 1 John 4:4 in the NIV. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we adore you and come to worship you this evening. We are not ashamed of the good news of Jesus, for through it we have come to possess abundant life. We thank you for the power of your daily presence. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. We pray that you would forgive us of giving in to Satan's deception and trying to cope with our world in our own strength. Thank you for keeping us to this day. We are glad we can offer these gifts to spread the news of life in Christ. Our gifts for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who pleads our cause at the throne of grace. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from 1 John 4:4 in the NIV, where it says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Amen. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is "The Spirit Within and the World Without." Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Number one is the spirit within. The spirit assumes residence in 1 John 3:23-24. Much controversy surrounds the person and power of the Holy Spirit. The debate causes many Christians to completely ignore this vital area of relationship to God. Paul warned that in the last days there would be many. In 2 Timothy 3:5 in the NIV says, "having a form of godliness, but denying its power." The initial realization of God's power is the fact his spirit assumes residence in a Christian at the moment of repentance and faith. Obedience to the commandment of faith opens the door for the Spirit's entry. It is impossible to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit convicts us of sin and turns us toward God. In Romans 8 and 2, in the NIV says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Jesus promised to send the Comforter and to be with us always. The only way his promise can be fulfilled is through the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1 and 27 tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 John 4 and 2 tells us the sign of the Spirit. Someone asks, how can I be sure the Spirit is within me? Is there a certain sign? The only sign is the confession of faith in and commitment of life to Jesus. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Jesus also, hallelujah, said the Spirit would testify about him in John 15 and 26 and bring glory to him, John 16 and 14. The world without Antichrist at work in 1 John 4 and 3 in opposition to the Spirit's work within us is the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist is not just a powerful evil in entirety to be revealed in the end times. The spirit of the Antichrist is in the world already. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says, the God of this world opposes Christ. Moreover, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8 in the NIV. 1 John 4 and 1 tells us, test the spirits. The spirit of Antichrist is a master at deception. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15, in the NIV says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of the righteousness. The devil can and does perform supernatural phenomena. Just as important as faith in Christ is the commitment to test every spirit. If we are gullible, we will find ourselves in Ephesians 4 and 14 tells us, carry about with every wind of doctrine. Every teaching should be subjected to the standard of God's word. The spirit within leads in this search for truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The spirit, excuse me, the spirit overcomes. In 1 John 4 and 4, his power is greater. The word assures us of victory in this conflict with the spirit of the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit within us is greater than he who is in the world. 2 Kings 6 records the dramatic account of Elisha before the troops of Syria. Elisha's servant exclaimed in fear, "What shall we do?" That same debilitating fear grips us when we face problems. Sin and an uncertain future. Elisha's answer, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." 2 Kings 6, 15 through 16 in the NIV. The prophet prayed in verse 17, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." The servant's fear was overcome when he saw the mountain full of the Lord's army. We need a fresh vision of the spiritual resources within us. Nothing and no one is greater than the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 John 5, 4 through 5 says, "Appropriate the power." The unbeliever says, "Seeing is believing." But God says, "Believing is seeing." The same Lord we trust to save us from hell is adequate to keep us in life, but his power is limited by our lack of faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The Spirit is within us, but does the Spirit control us? We have faith in Jesus, but do we live by the faith of Jesus? Galatians 2 and 20. Paul's injunction to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5 and 18, refers to the continual control of the Spirit in our lives. It means to avoid sin and to submit to God's will. The extent of our victory in the world without depends on the Spirit's control within. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 in the NIV. Freedom to be what God wants us to be. Freedom to love as Christ loves. Freedom to courageously resist temptation and sin. Freedom to witness without fear or intimidation. The Spirit within sets us free to win the world, Acts 1 and 8. Christ was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power, 2 Corinthians 13 and 4 in the NIV. Appropriate that power. Hallelujah. And my conclusion is this. Because we know the living Christ, we can be sure of life in the Son, forgiveness and control of sin, the love of God, and the ability to love others. Romans 8 and 16 tells us the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you have that confidence? Have you received God's love in Christ? John W. Peterson said, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Dark is the hour. We need your filling. your love and your mighty power. Move now among us. Stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive the church today. Respond now to the Spirit. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And all you have to do to continue your Christian walk is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church, amen, to further your walk and education in Christ. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with a sweet hour of prayer. I want to thank all of my listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. God bless you and your families, and may he always, always wrap his loving arms around each and every one of you. This is my prayer for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. And shalom, everyone. Good night.
Belongs to you. Belongs. come to hear the master say, well done, my faithful servant. Oh yeah, the time is near, no more
have been blessed and chosen by God before the world was made. For the Lord has called you out of darkness into his glorious light of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.